Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted, or should I say, welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz from Packers.com. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, we've been off the grid for a while. The last time we did a show was from the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, which was quite an action-packed few days there on the road. But since then, the intervening 6 weeks, a lot of action on with regards to the Packers roster, players coming, players going. Let's just start with, hey, what's your biggest headline of the last 6 weeks in Green Bay?
Well, first and foremost, Mike, the part of it that's just so intriguing is the fact that there has been so much action. It's been the most active offseason the Packers have had with Ted Thompson in over a decade, both with the guys they brought back and then also these external free agents that they've signed. But it doesn't get any bigger or better than Martellus Bennett. I mean, this guy arguably is the biggest offensive free agent Thompson's ever signed. The first unrestricted free agent the Packers have brought in 5 years. And his skill set, when you look at, you know, kind of ranking your draft board for the offseason, you know, top positions, who are the players you really seek and covet? Bennett, for my money, was at the top of that list. And it seems like so many times, Mike, you go through these offseasons and people are talking about, hey, Richard Sherman, Adrian Peterson, those big name guys tend to be a little bit of a pie in the sky sort of deal. With Bennett, Ted Thompson found the tight end he wanted. He executed it, and now the Packers have a big weapon to this offense.
Yeah, really interesting how it all came together. Just to recap a little bit, you go back to the NFC Championship game in Atlanta, the loss there. Aaron Rodgers stood at the podium after that game and said he really felt an offseason priority should be bringing back Jared Cook to have that dynamic tight end in this offense. The contract situation didn't work out with Jared Cook, and the Packers immediately pounced on Martellus Bennett. Not only that, they add another one in Lance Kendricks, a veteran free agent tight end, coming over from the
Los Angeles.
Yes, the Rams, the whole
yeah,
Rams
no, it's,
thing.
It's
you know.
Good that you kind of caution yourself
yeah,
there. It's tough to keep up.
Messing me up. But but now two veteran tight ends added to the mix, along with Richard Rodgers coming back for his fourth season in the green and gold, could really give this offense a bit of a different look here heading into 2017.
In a multitude of different ways, too, Mike. I mean, you have three tight ends now that opens up the packages the Packers can use. Mike McCarthy said at the owners' meetings that he actually envisions this offense playing more with an inline tight end this year, which would make sense. I mean, the Packers last year, they played to Jared Cook's strengths. It was using him in a versatile role, splitting him out. Well, the thing about Bennett, he can use him outside if you want to, but he's also a terrific blocker, probably one of the best in the NFL. So being able to use him in more of a traditional sense, having kind of a rover there with Lance Kendricks, they didn't run a lot of two tight end stuff in 2016. I remember talking to Cook a little bit about that and how they were kind of limited just because at most cases they only had two guys on the active roster at that position. Well, now there's no shortage of ways that they could use these guys. And the other thing I think is really important, a lot of experience too now at the tight end group. Those three guys have started 75% of the games that they've played in the NFL. That's going to go a long way.
Yeah, I like what you said also about McCarthy's comments about using the tight ends more in line and talking about the blocking ability of guys like Bennett and Kendricks. This seemed to me like a very conscious effort on the part of the Packers in terms of player acquisition, not only just to rebuild the tight end position from a body standpoint, but from a skill set standpoint too. It wasn't just about getting another pass catching tight end into the mix. It's about getting two of these tight ends, veteran guys who are proven blockers as well as pass catchers, which has to make Mike McCarthy put a pretty nice smile on his face when he thinks about the different ways he can line them up and reacting to how what the defense is going to have to do. Right. I mean, Martellus Bennett and Lance Kendricks and their blocking abilities, if they're lined up tight to the formation, you have to respect the running game. And that's where Aaron Rodgers can read the defense and you know, off this offense goes.
Well, we've heard so many times, Mike, too, the shortest distance to the end zone is through the middle of the field. And when you're lined up in the middle of the field, that gives the tight end the shortest distance as well as far as getting there. So that is, I think, an important thing to this, seeing how they not only adapt to that in the passing game, but the running game, what that could potentially do for them. But also the other thing that really stands out to me about the Bennett signing is now the Packers have a guy that they've seen nine times. They played him nine times during his time with Dallas, New York, and then with the Chicago Bears where he had a Pro Bowl season in 2014. Mike McCarthy knows this guy. I mean, Brian Angelico is going to have a big prospect to work with here. Still only 30 years old, but does bring a lot to the table in that capacity. I just think when you look at, in terms of just exciting, trying to, you know, get a guy in here that you really know what he can do, I think Bennett gives you that. And although it's a really deep draft class, there's a lot of prospects there.
Yeah.
It's tough for those guys to come in the door day one and make an impact. There's 9 years of experience behind Bennett now, 6 years of experience behind Kendricks. The Packers know what they're getting in those two guys.
Yeah, and you talked to him right after the Packers signed him, and it was interesting. One of the comments I thought was very interesting is, this is not a guy who is complacent at all with coming off of a Super Bowl championship with the New England Patriots. He even talked about winning a Lombardi trophy and getting that Super Bowl ring has made him even hungrier now. And he's going to bring that type of attitude to Green Bay.
Yeah, he said, I mean, it's that winning taste that he got in his mouth, and he wants that to stay. He wants that to continue. When he made his decision, that was something that factored heavily into it. He also recited kind of an interesting little anecdote in his history with Aaron Rodgers. When he did talk to Rodgers, first guy he talked to after signing with the Packers, actually telling him how much he hated playing him during his time with the Bears and obviously his other stints in the NFL. Well, now he gets a chance to play alongside him. And I think being able to see those two work together and develop their chemistry is going to be exciting, especially for this offense.
Yeah, well, we've got a lot more off-season headlines to talk about here, Wes, and we'll get to those after this. Packers Unscripted will be back right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, we mentioned in the first segment the departure of Jared Cook, obviously, at the tight end position. But he was not the only Packers player to depart in free agency. A Pro Bowl guard in T.J. Lang goes to NFC North rival Detroit. Eddie Lacy getting a chance to maybe become the next Marshawn Lynch or some sort of replacement for Lynch in Seattle. J.C. Treader, a chance to become a starting center full-time with the Cleveland Browns. Julius Peppers takes an opportunity to go back home to Carolina and presumably finish his career where it started with the Carolina Panthers. And then Dayton Jones, another player for the Packers who goes to a division rival in the Minnesota Vikings. So as you mentioned in the opening segment, a lot of activity here in the offseason, and this is one of those years not only with players the Packers have brought in, but the number of guys that have departed Green Bay.
Yeah, and I don't know the exact numbers in terms of the record for how many unrestricted free agents the Packers have lost, but this is up there. Obviously, you throw Micah Hyde in that mix as well, now going to Buffalo and being a starting safety. It sounds like they're going to give him the opportunity to play that free safety spot, which I think he'll excel in. I mean, the Packers are really loaded there, but I think we've always known from day one that Hyde can be a starting type player in this league, and we'll get an opportunity to do that now. A lot of movement, and I think that's one of the reasons when you look at the additions as well for the Packers, that's one of the reasons they had to go that route, because those are a lot of bodies to replace, and you only have 8 draft picks to replace them with. So Ted Thompson's making some savvy moves there. Across the board, I think you look at it from a media perspective, there's some tough guys to lose in that group. Hyde and Lang were obviously the good guy award winners for this past year in the locker room. But on the field, there's a lot of experience. The Packers are exiting through that door as well. T.J. Lang, one of the biggest grinders I think you've probably seen in recent memory in Green Bay and what he done. Now he goes to Detroit trying to continue what he's doing there. So a lot for the Packers to overcome, but at the same time, I think when you look at all those positions, they've given themselves options, too, for how they're going to go about replacing those key players.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that right guard position with Lang. He makes his first Pro Bowl. This will be now the second straight season the Packers have to replace a Pro Bowl guard. Lane Taylor stepped in as seamlessly as you could have asked for with regard to Josh Sitton's departure, at the end of training camp last year. Now the Packers have an entire offseason to replace another Pro Bowl guard in T.J. Lang. I believe the Packers really wanted T.J. Lang back. We certainly heard from Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson at the scouting combine. But you know how this contract stuff goes. I mean, sometimes things just don't work out. You know, teams have different values, different prices in mind, and that's the way this thing goes. So the Packers now have what look like a couple of in-house candidates in Don Barkley, who was re-signed. Also, Kyle Murphy, a sixth-round draft pick last year, who was a tackle but may get an opportunity to play some guard. Or it could be a player that the Packers draft here coming up at the end of the month. But it's going to be an interesting offseason to see who exactly steps in at right guard.
Yeah, this was a year of transition at the guard position. I didn't mean to make that rhyme, but we'll roll with it anyway. You look at historically where teams have invested their resources. It's been at the left tackle position. One of the big additions or whatever you want to call it that the Packers did make was actually extending David Bakhtiari before the season.
Right.
I mean, what he would have made on the open market, I can't even fathom. But at the guard position now, we've really seen the value go up, teams really impressing upon their players how important that is to building an offensive line. Detroit reflecting in that with bringing in Lane and also Ricky Wagner, the former Wisconsin tackle at right tackle. So
right.
They spent big for that, trying to build an offensive line. I think the Packers have been ahead of the curve for this for a number of years and understanding how important that is to Aaron Rodgers and being able to keep that passing game going. At the same time, a big hole there now for them. And historically, the Packers have not invested high, big draft picks into the guard position. So seeing exactly which course of action they take there, do they go mid-round like they did with Lang and Sitton? Do you see someone else jump up and grab that spot? I think Kyle Murphy, as you mentioned, is a definite candidate. We'll have to wait and see. But a lot of options for the Packers to exercise. They're trying to see exactly who could be the guy that could step into that spot.
Yeah, and to clarify also for the fans wondering, well, what about Jason Spriggs? He stepped in and started a couple of games at guard for TJ Lang last season. We asked Mike McCarthy at the scouting combine. He was asked again, I think, at the owners' meetings as well, where does Jason Spriggs fit into the mix? And McCarthy seemed pretty certain that he's keeping Jason Spriggs at tackle. He wants him to be the backup tackle on either side to David Bakhtiari on the left or Brian Bulaga on the right, which opens that door at guard for another player. You mentioned the draft. Josh Sitton, TJ Lang were both fourth-round draft picks. Corey Linsley, who's the starting center, was a fifth-round draft pick. The Packers have found J.C. Treader, for that matter, as well, was a fourth-round pick, an interior guy, could play multiple positions. The Packers have found those quality linemen in the middle rounds, you know, maybe early on the third day of the draft, I guess you might say, and that very well could be what happens again this year.
Yeah, and one other thing, too, that McCarthy did mention, Brian Bulaga will be staying put at right tackle, not looking at him as a guard either. So getting back to the point you made on Spriggs, I think that's the right course of action for them right now. Remember a conversation I had with Don Barkley last year when he talked about the improvements he made at center. He attributed a lot of that to focusing strictly on that one position. Jason Spriggs, when you look at him, he looks like a tackle in this league. He will play tackle in this league, and I think that's probably the smart direction that they're going to head with him right now.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with that, Wes, let's throw it to another break. We'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, shifting to the defensive side of the ball here, we've talked a lot of offense, tight ends, and offensive line so far. On the defensive side at the pass rushing spot, you lose Julius Peppers and Dayton Jones in free agency. You re-sign Nick Perry to a premier contract there for an outside linebacker. You also bring back Jayrone Elliott as a restricted free agent. But the Packers are going to have to fortify their pass rushing spot a little bit. You do have a third-round draft pick from last year in Kyler Fackrell, who was showing a lot of promise before a hamstring injury kind of derailed his rookie season a little bit. But the Packers really need to reload at outside linebacker. It is the premier position in Dom Capers' defense. And right now, to be frank, the position looks a little thin.
Yeah, and as big of a signing as it was to get Bennett, I think re-signing Nick Perry was huge for this defense, not just because of the losses that they did have at the pass rush position. At that time, we really weren't sure who was going to be coming back yet at that spot. But the thing about Perry is they invested so much time into him. 4 years they stuck by him through a bunch of injuries, through a bunch of setbacks. Well, he finally blossoms as a pass rusher in year five, and now they re-signed him. He's still only 27 years old as of last week. This is a guy you want to have on your football team. I think he handles himself the right way, and we've seen what he can do, even when he had the club on his hand, how impactful he can be with his natural strength. He has to stay healthy. That's going to be the primary thing for him moving forward, but the ability is there, and he finally looks like he's at home at that outside linebacker position. You lose Julius Peppers. You lose Dayton Jones. How do you fill out that rotation? Jayrone Elliott's going to get an opportunity to contribute in that. As you said as well with Fackrell, I think getting a full offseason in Green Bay and that weight program could really help him. Also seeing what they're going to do with Clay Matthews. McCarthy was asked at every turn this offseason what their plan is with him. They plan to be mobile with him. They plan to move him around. Some of the stuff they wanted to do in 2016, they weren't able to do because of those hamstring and shoulder injuries. How they respond, how he looks in this offseason program, I think going to go a long way with where they decide to use him in 2017.
Yeah, as you said, I think the Packers are going to move Matthews around. But in a lot of instances, we may see kind of come to fruition exactly what the plan was when Nick Perry was originally drafted in the first round, which is to have Clay Matthews on one edge and Nick Perry on the other, two guys who are both very, very good run defenders as well as accomplished pass rushers. Certainly, Nick Perry with the 12 sacks this past year, 11 in the regular season, added another one in the playoffs. That was a big year. He was clearly the team's best pass rusher from start to finish in terms of the consistent production in getting to the quarterback. And the Packers are hoping for more from Nick Perry. They're hoping that this is really just the start, that right now is where his arrow is really starting to point up.
Yeah, and I think we saw that last season. Just being able to see him get the full offseason program, he's going to get that benefit again this offseason too. That really goes so far with these players, especially when you're young and developing in this defense. And much like the tight end position, Mike, it's really tough for an outside backer to come right out of college and make an impact from day one. Clay Matthews was probably the exception to the rule with that, him being just a supernatural athlete. But Perry had to learn, he had to develop, and he had to stay patient. And the Packers started to finally reap the rewards of that last year. And I think now, one of the things when I talked to him in the offseason, he really sees himself as a leader in that room now. The next generation that's coming up behind him, the Fackrells, the Elliots, the Reggie Gilberts from the practice squad, plus whoever else they add in the draft, he sees himself as a mentor, a leader, and also spent a lot of time in Green Bay this offseason, something he's done the last 2 years to really get himself involved here and make sure that he's right there where they need him to be.
Yeah, and staying on the defensive side of the ball, you look at the cornerback position. I know a lot of fans, a lot of angst around what's going on in the secondary with the way Matt Ryan and that Atlanta Falcons offense ended Green Bay's season, you know, somewhat unceremoniously, putting up the 44 points, and Julio Jones was just so tough to stop in that NFC title game. The Packers are counting on Demarius Randle, Quentin Rollins, Ladarius Gunter, all entering their third seasons to really continue the development in this draft and develop program. But also, Devon House now brought back as a free agent after a two-year hiatus, I guess you might say, to Jacksonville. A 2011 draft pick, if I recall, fourth-round pick. Devon House spent his first four seasons in Green Bay and showed a lot of promise, obviously. A strong cornerback, press man type of guy out there on the boundary. He's coming back now, and you mentioned, you know, leadership in the meeting room, in the locker room. This is a guy who could bring some of that leadership to a young cornerback group that now no longer has Sam Shields with his release and his kind of lost season from 2016.
Yeah, this is probably the move that made the most sense to me in terms of just the obviousness of it. When he did get released, when Devon House got released from Jacksonville, he played well in the system. He has a good rapport with Joe Witt, and the Packers know how to use him to his strengths. Now, the one thing for him was availability when he was in Green Bay. There just always seemed to be an injury or two that flared up and kind of set him back. He actually avoided that in Jacksonville for the most part. He was healthy in those two seasons, but just really didn't fit with where they were going with the defense last year. The Jaguars cut him loose. He gets to come back to Green Bay. What I like about what the Packers did here, Mike, is they gave themselves options at cornerback, plus whatever else they add in the draft. I know people love Richard Sherman. They love Jason McCourty. They love all these names. But at the end of the day, it's about giving yourselves options at that position. They're not locked into anybody as a starter. And I'm sure as soon as Joe Witt talks, at whatever point that'll be this summer, he's going to talk about opportunity. He's looking for guys this season.
Yeah, with that, Wes, we've got to get to one more break, and we'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, as we get back into the swing of Packers Unscripted here on our upcoming shows, we'll have a lot of time to preview the upcoming NFL draft, which is going to be a big 3 days here in Green Bay and across the league. But quickly, let's hit on a couple of things. As far as draft priorities for the Packers, the focus is always on taking that best player available, you know, not necessarily focusing on positions when it's your turn to pick, when it's Ted Thompson on the clock. But boy, it's hard to believe that that the Packers aren't going to be looking very, very closely at pass rushers and cornerbacks, two spots we talked about in the last segment. And this is a draft a lot of experts are saying is pretty deep at those two spots. So the need and the depth of the draft kind of maybe coming into line here for Green Bay to help out in those places.
Yeah, and Mike, if you go back and look at these past drafts of Thompson, I mean, the where they put the biggest emphasis on drafting football players, it's at the pass rushing spot. It's at cornerback, and it's at offensive line. They've taken some tackles in the first round as well. Now, how they value that guard position, as I mentioned earlier in the show, I'll be very interested to see where they potentially take a guy there to add to that equation. But really, pass rusher and cornerback, it looks like those positions are places where you might be able to find a guy right at the end of the first round. There's a little shortage of options. I know everybody loves Pewaukee's T.J. Watt in Wisconsin. I'm sure they'd love for him to stay in the state. But you also look at some of the other guys available at that position and then potentially which cornerback could be there out of the 5-6 that could potentially be taken in the first round. No shortage of options, and I'm sure for the Packers' sake, they're happy to see that in this particular year's draft.
Yeah, the Packers will be at number 29, as you mentioned, late in the first round. Really hard to tell exactly who is going to be on the board at that spot late on that Thursday night in the first round of the draft. But also looking at the offensive side of the ball, a lot of talk about how deep this running back class is in the draft. The Packers have Ty Montgomery coming back. Eddie Lacy has left as a free agent. Christian Michael was re-signed during the free agency period. But Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson have both said they need to add more running backs. They want to fortify that group, and this is the draft to do it.
Yeah, it's been 27 years since the Packers have taken a running back in the first round. It looks like there's three guys that could go this year with Fournette and then obviously Christian McCaffrey. But really right now, the Packers, I think you're looking at that middle, that bulk of the draft, there's a lot of options there, including Corey Clement from Wisconsin, some very talented guys that could fit into your backfield in various amount of ways. I'm interested to see which direction they take. There was a lot of options in 2013, too, when they took Eddie Lacy, and there'll probably be plenty this year.
Yeah, and I'm not ruling out a tight end either, even with the free agent additions. I think the Packers might add to their tight ends. But with that, we'll sign off on Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com, on Twitter. He's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.